Good evening. I welcome you with all my heart. Always remember, never forget, your true nature. You are truly choiceless, effortless, pure awareness. And as I speak divine essence to you, remember this all the time. No matter what I say, no matter what goes on, bear in mind always that you are infinite like the sky. You are spaceless, absolute reality. As we practice our path, as we practice sadhana, as we practice spiritual disciplines, in the beginning when we start, we seem to make a lot of progress. But then the progress seems to slow down. We get stuck. We feel that nothing is happening any longer. We think we're doing something wrong. We believe we need a new teaching of some kind. We feel we have to read a certain book, see a certain teacher, to get back on the path. But this is normal. You appear to burn out. Yet if you can only remember that you are effortless, choiceless, pure awareness, you would realize there's actually no one to burn out. You cannot burn out because you are immortal. There's nothing in you or outside of you that can burn out. You are spirit. Satchitananda. As you feel yourself burning out, so to speak, as you feel that the sadhana you're practicing is not doing you any good anymore, you have to remember who feels this. Who feels destroyed? Who feels that they can't make any further progress? If you were human to begin with, then you would have a battle on your hands. For if you were human, there would have to be a metamorphosis of some kind to change you into something else. But the fact is you're not human. And nothing ever changes. The part you think has to change never existed. Your mind, your body, that you believe has to change into a god, that person never existed. You are a god already. Your very existence is divine. You are not what you appear to be. when you feel as if you can't study any longer, or vichara, self-inquiry, does not seem to be doing anything else for you, always stop and remember who you are. Who is the person that's trying to become something? Who can't make any more progress? Who's stuck? Who seems to have this problem? Just remembering who you are lifts you up. Do not feel and believe that only through practicing self-inquiry and observation or becoming the witness is going to awaken you. Do not think like this at all. For in truth, you're already awake. There's no one to awaken anyone. Some of you believe there's a God or some person or some being. Perhaps you've changed the name of God to consciousness. So you feel that consciousness is going to awaken you, enlighten you. It'll never happen. There's no such person. There's no such being. What we call consciousness is a word that implies your real nature. The real self, which is you right now. Right now you are the self. Right now you are everything you want to be. Right this moment. You say to yourself, no, I'm just a dumb human being. Then you are. Is that what you want to call yourself? But no matter what you say to yourself, no matter what you do to yourself, you can never change your real nature one iota. You are Brahman, the absolute reality. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how you act, you are still God. But you are not God the way you feel yourself as a human being. You are God as all-pervading. Without your mind, without your thoughts, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your life. You are wonderful, wonderful. Perfect. Just the way you are. Yet, some of you feel as if you want to practice for a year or two, and now you feel stunted. You feel as if you can't go any further. Then stop the practice. Do not force yourself to practice after the challenge. Self-inquiry. Do not force yourself to do anything. Stop and be yourself. Just be yourself. Do not try to be anyone else or anything else. Just be yourself where you are. When you can really be yourself, then you will be the self. When there's only one self, there's not yourself and myself. There's the one self. Perfect. Absolute. And you are that. When you think about yourself, what do you imagine you are? The first thing you have to do is get rid of your gender. And stop believing you're a man or a woman. And then you get rid of your genitals. That you belong to the family of man. There is no family of man. There is no individual human being. How can this be? Well, when you go look at a movie, when you go watch a moving picture, and you see all of these people on the screen, you see all sorts of things happening on the screen. You see men, you see women, you see animals, you see trees, you see all kinds of things in the picture. Yet, would you say those forms are real? Even though the picture is causing you to feel emotional, to feel happy, to feel sad, watching a movie causes you to achieve all the types of kinds of feelings, emotional feelings. Yet you are not those images, are you? And the images themselves don't have any life. The movie projector causes a life on the screen. The movie projector is like the mind. The pictures are like the world. And the screen is like the self. If you try to grab any of the pictures, you grab the screen. And all the time you're sitting watching a movie, you never think of this. You look at the images as if they were real, and they affect you. Isn't this like most of us in life? We look at the world, we hear the news. Somebody tells us something we do not like. We become angry, afraid, cynical. The world can make us become all kinds of things. So can the movie. The movie can make you cry, laugh. Yeah, the projector shows the movie on the screen. In the same instance, your mind projects the world. on the screen of life. Everything emanates from the mind. The forms in the world are like the forms on the screen. They do not exist. Yet you believe they're real. The point I'm trying to make is as long as you react to the world and its problem, you're going to suffer accordingly. That's the great mystical secret. As long as you react to person, place, or thing, you have all sorts of things going on in your life. You have all sorts of problems, emotions, fears, frustrations. And you will have happiness too at times, peace at times. Just as the figures on the screen seem to do certain things and become very happy, watching a soap opera, there's happiness for a while, and someone falls in love with someone else, and the things change into a nightmare. The soap opera becomes ridiculous as you watch all these happenings take place. And all these things are happening on the screen. It's the same thing with your life. As long as you believe the forms and images are real, you have to go through all kinds of suffering. You have good times and bad times. And things keep changing, changing, changing. But again, the great mystical secret is as you see the forms in this world, as images on the screen, they can never harm you again. It will be virtually impossible for you to have any type of suffering in mind. You will automatically be very blissful and feel great joy and great happiness and great peace. We are no longer looking at the world for your satisfaction, for your peace, or for your happiness. When you stop looking at the world for these things, something happens within you. All of the vasanas, all of these images of the world begin to burn up. It happens by itself. All of the karma begin to disintegrate. The past begins to dissolve. You begin to evolve at a fast rate of speed. And you become the one and only self. The one and only Brahman. The pure awareness. Which you've always been. Again, all you have to do is to stop relying and reacting on this world. Leave the world alone. Do not look to person, place, or thing for your happiness and for your peace. Try to catch yourself. As you feel you're burning out from practicing, start enough. As you feel nothing is happening, wherever you're in a kind of negative feeling, simply remember what I'm talking about now. Remember the analogy. If this is all happening in a movie, and the projectionist is the mind, your mind is telling you nothing is happening, you can't make any further progress. This is the mind that's playing its tricks on you. The reason the mind is playing these tricks on you is because the mind is not wanting to be dissolved, distinguished. It wants to act distinguished. The mind wants to act as if it's the cause, as if it knows everything. Yet you must recognize what's going on. There's no one to burn out. There's no one who's gone so far and can go no further. That being does not exist. You have to catch yourself. Feel that all of the images, your feelings included, all of the images on the screen. Your mind is a projectionist. The screen is the self. As you think of this, you will start feeling different. You will feel power. You will feel joy. You will feel bliss. You will become free. Therefore, never put yourself down. Do not believe there's something wrong with you. Do not believe something is wrong anywhere else in this world. Do not believe someone is trying to punish you. Or you've got bad karma. If you believe all of these things, it will become a reality for you. Remember also that the mind is very creative. It will create what you think about for a while. Be careful what you allow your mind to think. Always catch yourself. catch your mind thinking. Remind yourself who you are. Be aware. Be intelligent. Always look. Always be ready to observe. And to catch your mind thinking about things. To catch your feeling. When you begin to feel depressed, when you begin to feel something is wrong, do not allow your mind to carry that thought through. No matter how bad you begin to feel, awaken and catch yourself. Remind yourself of this. Remind yourself that I am not the mind. I am not the body. I am not my affairs. And think of the screen with its images. Or think of the dream state. See all these things I'm sharing with you. You have to be able to grasp and do this what I'm saying to you. Work on yourself this way. Do not let your mind go on and on rambling, making you feel this way, making you feel that way. But try to catch yourself as often as you can. Use the examples I've shared with you. Whatever problem you may have, whatever's going on in your life, try to realize again that when you are in deep sleep, none of these things are happening. You never notice if you have a cold or a cancer. If you have any lack of limitation in your life, you're worried about it. When you're in deep sleep, you're not worried. The disease does not bother you. It's only when you awaken that you begin to feel all these things. But in deep sleep, you are at peace. This is why when you awaken from deep sleep, you always feel good. Think about this. Watch yourself in the morning. See if I'm wrong. When you first wake up, you feel wonderful. You're not thinking about your sickness or your financial condition. Or your enemies, or the world situation. You're not thinking about anything when you first wake up. And you feel good. But then you allow the I thought to go from the heart into your brain. And you say, uh-oh, I've got problems. You begin to think about your problem. This is the I thought thinking about this. And it's the I thought that makes you feel that you are awake to this world. And you've got all kinds of situations happening. Just by realizing what I'm saying, lifts you up, frees you. Then you can also reflect on your dreams. In this dream, you're a king. There's a war with a different country. You get killed. But you laugh and say, this was a dream. It never happened. But now you're dreaming the mortal dream. You've gone from that dream into this dream. And you're taking this dream very seriously. And this is where real. This is the reason you suffer and you go through various problems and various situations. If you only did not take this world seriously and remembered who you are, you would never have a problem. The problem comes to the ego. And the ego goes through various problems and various situations. You have to catch it. Do not let a moment go by when you're not practicing this. So you see, there's no such thing as saying, I'm burnt out. I can't go any further in my spiritual practice. You have all these things that you can do to yourself, don't you? All these things I'm sharing with you, you can work on yourself. And recognize that you're not the problem, you're not the body, you're not the mind, you're not the world, you're not the situation. You're not your karma. That you have to do this for yourself. You have to stop identifying with the body. This is the main problem. Again, the body does not really exist. You have to therefore see that it is the I thought that has caused you to believe you've got a body. All is well. There never was a problem. There never was anything wrong. You have a lot of things to think about. Therefore, I don't want somebody to call me on the phone and say, Robert, I'm stuck. I can't go any further. See all the things you can do. All the things we've shared. Just to think of the statement, I'm stuck, and I can't go any further. Who's stuck? You're saying the I is stuck. Who is the I that's stuck? Where did it come from? All the eyes of the heart center. Where it will disappear in absolute reality. I think of the screen with its images. Or think of the dream state. See, all these things I'm sharing with you, you have to be able to grasp and do this what I'm saying to you. Work on yourself this way. Do not let your mind go on and on rambling, making you feel this way, making you feel that way. But try to catch yourself as often as you can. Use the examples I've shared with you. Whatever problem you may have, whatever's going on in your life, try to realize again that when you are in deep sleep, none of these things are happening. You ever notice if you have a cold or a cancer? If you have any lack of limitation in your life, and you're worried about it, when you're in deep sleep, you do not worry. The disease does not bother you. It's only when you awaken that you begin to feel all of these things. But in deep sleep, you are at peace. This is why when you awaken from deep sleep, you always feel good. Think about this. watch yourself in the morning. See if I'm wrong. When you first wake up, you feel wonderful. You're not thinking about your sickness or your financial condition or your enemies or the world situation. You're not thinking about anything when you first wake up. And you feel good. But then you allow the I thought to go from the heart into your brain. And you say, uh-oh, I've got problems. You begin to think about your problems. This is the I thought thinking about this. Feel free to ask any questions. As long as the mind is quiet, it will be affected. When the mind is quiet, the thoughts subside. When there are no thoughts, there is a self. So all these practices are really the quiet of the mind. Not for any other purpose. No matter what form of sadhana you're practicing, whether you're a yogi or a bhakta, or a karmic yoga, or anything else, it's not the same. All of these practices are simply to quiet the mind, to make the mind one pointed. When the mind becomes one pointed, self inquiry becomes very easy. When the mind will disappear completely.
But I think he's asking if sati is itself has a direct effect on the mind. For example, what if the mind runs rampant during sati? What if during your moments of silence, you're sitting here thinking aloud a minute, is there still there a power in just being?
When you're at Satsang, you're safe. When Satsang is a spiritual practice going on continuously, something is always happening to help you. More than you can ever imagine.
As you saw social in Greek, the implicit in that statement is that if I did something bad or wrong, I would be punished. Conversely, if I do something worthwhile, valuable, then I'll be rewarded. Now, something bad. Who is being punished? No one being punished. There is punishment, but no individual being punished. In other words, would it not be more accurate to find that there is something that can be called cause and effect? And it doesn't happen to an individual. Just good or bad, happens. And, if something bad happens to me tomorrow, it won't be threatened. I'm now getting it in the neck for something I did 200 years ago. Is that not so? It just happened.
You're speaking in an open forum.
Yeah, I realize that.
There's no punishment. There's no punisher. There's no one to punish. So how can you be punished? There's no punishment at all in reality. Punishment doesn't even exist. This is all part of your mind that makes these things happen. It is the mind that makes yourself be punished. The law of cause and effect is a mental thing. It comes out of your mind. Therefore, again, as the mind subsides, where is the cause and effect? Cause and effect is of the mind. So no matter what you did in the previous life, so to speak, that was part of the illusion. If you awaken today and you realize it doesn't exist, so it's impossible for you to experience any effect of anything that happened 200 years ago, yesterday, or today. It's only when you believe that. It's only when you allow yourself to live in that state of mind when those things appear to be present that it happens like that. But otherwise, who is to punish? You have to believe that there's a God that punishes. And you said even if you believe that you're not the person who's being punished, you're saying a punishment exists, where would it come from? There has to be a cause for it. And the only cause is absolute reality, pure awareness, God, Brahman. It knows absolutely nothing about punishment. Consequently, there's no punishment at all. It never existed. Only when you believe that it exists, it happens.
Father, the what you started out to say is exactly what I've been going through, so you read me completely. And I did stop the inquiry, it doesn't work for me. None of the practices work for me. But when you said a little later that
and you say you're really stuck? Who are you that's stuck?
Yeah, well, that's what I can't get beyond.
Do not try to get beyond it. Just realize that you exist. You exist, you're alive. You don't have to get beyond anything. Don't try to get beyond anything. Where are you? You're nowhere. You're feeling that you're someplace, that you're stuck or wherever you are. That's the mind that feels that. It is the mind that goes through these experiences. But become aware that you're not the mind by looking at yourself, as I gave the example before, as images on the screen. Imagine you're watching television and all these things seem real, they affect you by the story that's going on. It affects you adversely, it affects you happily, or whatever. But they're all images. When you're tired of watching, you turn off the television, there's only the screen. So be aware that's what's happening to you. The one that feels stuck is the image, like on the television. But if there's no image, there's no one to be stuck. Just by knowing this, you become unstuck. Just by understanding what's happening. simply understand what's going on. And I just explain. I don't think nobody's going to be stuck.
Sunday you were telling us how important, how valuable it was to be kind to others, including the homeless. We should be able to practice humility to all the things we can and be observant to all of the world. That to me is so getting right back into
as long as you believe that you're human, that you're in a body, that the world is real, you have to be of service to humanity. You have to do the best you can in this world and have a great compassion and a great love and a great peace. And do all these things that's possible. But as you graduate and you rise higher, there will be no one left to do these things. The one who does all these things will be totally dissolved. Then you will become the whole universe. You will be able to explain, all this is the self and I am that. But as long as you believe you're Fred, you have to have compassion. You have to help the homeless. You have to be kind and live. But when Fred disappears, everything else will disappear.
Robert, going back to what you were talking about, seeming to be punished, I understand intellectually that on the highest level there's neither cause nor effect, but as you said, you relative level, yet can't it be seen not so much as punishment but simply balance? I mean, you're right, there's no punitive God and there's no one to be punished, but on the earth plane karmic level, it's simply divine balance that would constantly quote bad rather than the concept of punishment.
Well, it's just a change in words. If you want to believe it's balanced, believe that.
But don't get the way the idea of a punitive God.
It may, but you're still worrying about balance. Worrying if you're balanced or not. If you're off balance. The whole idea is not to allow yourself to identify with those things. Do not think of those things too much. Trying to think of who you really are, the truth about you, the reality. Always focus on the reality, the I am. Do not think of balance or wrong. Do not put yourself at that level. Lift yourself upward. All is well goes beyond punishment, beyond doubt. Everything is right. Drop all the thinking. Do not worry about these things. If you're identifying with the spark by saying all is well, that will suffice. In other words, do not try to be too analytical. And not try to figure it out to an extent, try to understand where punishment comes from, where free will comes from. Can't you simply think to yourself, all is well, and let it go? Forget everything else. When you say all is well, you are believing in a supreme power. It's something beyond your thinking, something beyond your mind, something beyond your body. And you're trusting it by saying all is well. And then you can also be yourself. Exactly.
You know
what? Exactly, you can. Or even if you solve your problems, new ones will pop up. New ones will always pop up. You solve one set of problems, new ones will end. That's the nature of the mind, there's no end to it. Discover what the mind is and become clear. That's good. Everything is part of the sanity. Everything is part of the spiritual practice. If the phone rings, or the noise, or something appears to be wrong, there's never anything wrong. But if you practice, it's here and you'll react. It's all part of the practice.
No way for something to be different than it already is.
Exactly. No one is against it. There's nothing in the universe that wants to hurt you. There's nothing that's trying to interfere with you. You are totally free. They certainly can. But to whom do they appeal?
Yours truly.
Exactly.
All you have to do is look at the morning paper.
Of course. It's really interesting. This flood and rain. We have 3 days of chaos. After the day the sun comes up, like nothing happens. The sun doesn't care. Does the sun say, I won't come out today because of all the chaos in the world? The rain, the death, whatever's going on. The sun always shines. So in the same way, the sun of yourself is always shining. Your heart, your true nature, is always shining. Whatever happens is an appearance.
This is never real.
Never real.
That's beautiful enough.
Yes. I'm
glad you like it. You're right in there, man.
if the entire earth blew up, the sun would still shine tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything. Your real self, the real nature that you really are, can never be affected by anything. You are never born, you can never die. You have always been. You will always be. Self will sneeze.
For a yoni who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the yoni only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when after the decease of the body he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the yoni rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a yoni constitute his own deepest conviction and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom, absolute. A yoni lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and denial.
Thank you. Do we have any more questions? Does anyone wish to say something?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Is real nature. His real self, his real nature. Who he really is. We have transcripts on the table. Feel free to grab them. Think of all the money you can save on toilet paper. He's trying.
Yeah. I'll flush.
Okay.
We are getting caught up, so I
have.
I have. I do have some more transcripts. Number 54. You are that.
Remember to love yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself, for you are immortal, you are the self, and all is well. Peace. That's all we need to do.